Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Look inside, look inside. Hey, I think we're going to have a delightful episode tonight. The topic tonight is abundance manifesting and ego management, and our guest is Christina Hill and Ascended Master Athela. We're going to bring them on in just a little bit, but I wanted to talk about this notion of heaven and hell and how love is behind it all. Love is the great conspirator. It's plotting your delight in every moment, and whether or not you choose to participate happens all in between your ears. We came here for the human experience, and there's so much pleasure and happiness and wonderfulness that consciousness, that love has for us. It's available to us, but free will says whether or not we choose it is up to us. This idea of heaven and hell, you know, boy howdy, whoever's touting heaven in the future sense, like after the human side of things happens, then there'll be a decision and then there'll be a choice. It's quite evident that hell exists on this planet. And hell has existed on this planet for a long time. So many people look at the shadow and they say, well, you know, wet cleanup aisle five, obviously this is a mistake. There's this big mess on the floor that wasn't supposed to happen. But in truth, our souls chose to make one hell of a karmic quagmire, if you will, to push her psyche so far into the pain and suffering model, to the very, very edge of life itself. And it wasn't a mistake. It was a conscious choice at the soul level. And then we come into physical form, and you know, there's some pretty tough paradigms playing out on this planet. People decide to check out because the pain index is too much for them to handle. And I want to just point out the notion that it's pretty clear that if you're listening to this, your soul chose the most advanced class in the brochure. If this is as I would suggest, the most advanced class in embodying love in physical form, perhaps anywhere in our galaxy, and that you are here, you're listening to this. Yeah, I see you. You're listening to this in this now moment, whenever this now is, that your soul chose to take on some of the perhaps the toughest environment to learn how to love. To learn how to love all that is as it is. And that all that is as that is part is the dance itself. Because so often the media will show us some, you know, pain and suffering model that we've yet again chosen. And our ego wants to point our finger at it and say, you know, that's not it. That wasn't intended. That's an accident. We screwed up, you know, back the bus up. And it's not it. We actually did choose to go so far into the darkness that we lost all sight, all connection, all memory of who we really are. And the gift of that is, boy, howdy, the gift of that is, oh my God, the gift is the feeling in our karmic canvas, in this body, in this mind, in this emotional aerobics that we're going through, the feeling it feels. How does a single mother who's been homeless feel like when she gets her place of her own again for the first time? She walks through the door of a one-bedroom apartment that's now hers, and she's no longer living on the street. There's joy, there's happiness in every single step from the edge of darkness back to light. And when we've gone so far into the darkness that we have here on this planet, we've gone so far into the darkness, we are masters at seeing the slightest inkling of light, the single photon that escaped the shadow, the most subtle expression of love. And it exists everywhere and every when. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't be anxious for something in the future. Look right here, right now. This now. No, I meant this. This now. No, now. Now. Damn it, they keep escaping me. If you learn how to enjoy your life now, in this now moment, you'll be in fine form for enjoying this now, and here comes another one. This practice of joy, this practice of focusing your consciousness, choosing what you pay attention to, is perhaps the dance itself. And it gets easier, and it gets funner, and it gets richer, and it gets more rewarding, and it starts cascading and takes up a momentum of itself. And after a while, you can't entertain thoughts of self-despair or neglect or fall into depression. There's a breaking point where you love yourself too much to go back to that. And you're listening to this episode now. There's some aspect of you that chose to tune into this episode. And I think this episode is thick with love, with compassion, with happiness, and in the moment, in this ever-perpetuating now moment that the future is born in. So let's get to it. I'm so delighted for this episode tonight. Christina and I have been talking a couple of times today, and I think we're both just glad to co-create, to share, and kind of mirror off each other how much we appreciate this vehicle of life, this vehicle of love. Christina met an ascended being called Athela after living a life riddled with abuse, loss, addiction, disease, and suffering. Athela healed Christina directly and continues to heal all those who come to her worldwide. Athela and Christina now host retreats in both Mexico and the United States, where individuals work in an intimate, natural setting, manifesting their spiritual, physical, and financial goals. You can go to athela.org, athella.org, if you want more information. And now, without further ado, let's bring Christina on the show. Welcome to the show, Christina.
I'm honored. I say that a lot, Les, and it's no joke. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for bringing color to the now. We are at now, and I'm delighted to be in this present moment with all of you, just wafting in the now and inviting spirit, universe, source, and all this collective consciousness to run through our veins, so that we can open ourselves up to receive and to fill this space with love and light, laughter and joy. As you say, Les, a thickness of love, right? There's a thick layer of love coating on this baby, and I'm really excited for it. So thank you for having me.
It's palatable. Well, and thank you. This episode has had a really good vibe to it from the beginning, and I think we're in for a good show. You know, so let's delve into a little bit of your background and get an idea of what got you where you are. I mean, in the open, we talked about abuse and loss and
yes.
suffering. I mean, can you kind of give us a snapshot of what brought you to this moment?
I sure can. I'd love to. And I'd love to preface this with, this is all a story. I mean, it's not who we are. This is not the totality of who we are. We're clusters of tetrahedrons floating around, bouncing off of each other. We're energy, and we are here and now. We are these creative light beings. I just want to preface that because, you know, we tell the story, and then we engage that energy. And then right after that, we can step into here and now-ness. So as I tell this, I think you even started it perfectly, Les. You talked about single mom going from homeless to getting first apartment, you know, the one-bedroom apartment. That was me, except it really took me over a decade to get to that point. I had been homeless. I grew up in an abusive environment. I was adopted and had a pretty rough start from the get-go and had a family member that was molesting me for many years. I couldn't bring myself to run away. So I stuck it out as long as I could, but as soon as I had the chance, was out the door, and then into just one traumatic event after the other. And I found myself, you know, homeless and addicted to all kinds of things, pretty much any combination you could call out, and living, not even living, you know, just hanging on by the fingernails, and found that, you know, it would oscillate between, you know, survival and doing just the most ungodly things to get by, and having absolutely no resources, so no family, no ability to pull myself out of that. And I ended up institutionalized, actually. So I really, really hit this epic place where I was on my knees and I couldn't take care of myself, couldn't eat, couldn't function. And that was when I heard something. There was something that came and whispered in my ear and said, in a few years, your whole life, you're going to need a telescope to look back. Your whole life will change. I didn't know what happened to me that day, but I heard it, and I heard it clearly, and it just literally stopped me, and I started to feed myself, started to help myself, and I did. I had to live in my car for a while and just had a library card. I started to read. I went to a bookshop, and I found the book The Power of Now. And I made a beeline for it, and I started to read Eckhart Tolle's book. And I ended up, over a very short period of time, nursing myself, nurturing myself through books and just teaching myself, educating myself. I found that I was able to help people, coach people who were worse off than me. And I really had no wherewithal to do so, but I felt like I needed to continue on this spiritual path, this growth. I ended up coaching and becoming a hypnosis expert, and I had a house cleaning business on the side, you know, still living in my car, but I was doing much better. And my road to ascension, it took a while, but there was one day when I met Othello back in 2015. I was laying on my couch and I was doing some past life regression, which I had never tried before. I did not know what channeling was even before I even tried all this. But I knew that I needed to do this because I really wanted to clear out all the cobwebs in there, and I wanted to see. I thought it would be cool. I went down into, I think I just tranced myself into the ozone, I think is what it was. But something happened, and when Othello appeared, it was absolutely the most glorious light. I couldn't even describe it. It's kind of useless to describe, but it was all enveloping, and she was larger than life, and she asked me to speak her name. And suddenly, the locked-up throat that I had had for many years for no apparent reason, it became loosened and opened, and the floodgates were just open. And there was a voice. It was not my own, and there were words coming out, and she had said to me, look, you know, you've had this long go. You can continue to suffer. You've been suffering, and you can continue on this road, or you can team up with me, and I can show you this ancient technique called channeling. If you'll allow me, I can use the body as a vessel for this light. You can travel around the world. You'll be needing a team. You'll be provided a team, and I'm here to help the healing of humanity, is basically Athela's mission. And she's like, you're not going to know how any of this is going to happen. But it's a walk of faith. And if you shake hands with me on this, then I'll steer you, I'll guide you. Not going to do all the work for you, not going to remove all the fear, because at that point I had, you know, phobias. I was afraid of the chair I'm sitting in. I was afraid of so many things, you know, just fear throughout my whole life. And she said, you're going to have to face every single fear. You're going to have to break through, dissolve the ego self, really look at yourself, the true self, and then meet your mentors, meet people who are going to help you, direct you to light. And she's like, what do you say? And I said immediately, I said, yes, I agree. And since then, my ascension from literally darkness into light has been guided through Athela's hand, and through the course of the years, I've seen and witnessed, and I know firsthand how we can very quickly, we can really step into our knowingness, our divineness, and we can release and we can trust, and the healing is possible. And then from there, go further beyond, of course, just survival, and start creating. You're creating anyway, but really creating intentionally and with this knowledge that we can truly live our life by design and not by default, that we're not here for suffering. I really think that that's kind of the undertone of this show, is to really highlight that we're here for fun. This is meant for joy and for enjoyment and creation.
Indeed.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I can't.
Go ahead, please.
So many times when we have, I suggest extremely powerful people like yourself, because the story you just shared, I think our soul looks for doesn't look for the calm ocean to raise a sailor. It looks for the flipping hurricane in the middle of the night. Incarnate in the form, and you know, the fun begins. And I mean, what a story! And so you have sea legs, if you will, in the sense that you've been through it. And a lot of times people say, well, you know, it's easy for you to say love and light. You don't know what pain and suffering is.
Oh.
It's like, actually we do. We do know that.
Yeah.
And that's perhaps part of our resolve and part of our compassion. But like you said, there's this whole other side of consciousness where you consciously choose. You consciously, through self-love, say, no, wait, let's get real and really dial in what we would truly, genuinely love to experience in this lifetime here and now.
Yes.
That damn now again. I put it down and I turn around and there's some other now in its place. But it's only in this now that you can find the joy, experience the joy, and attune to it, and it expands with your own consciousness. So you've gone through all that, and now you're a platform of compassion for humanity. Now you and Athela are languaging the truth in words and stories, so others can find that within themselves. What a beautiful storyline you're playing out.
Oh, it's beautiful because we desire, I think, to see it that way. And some people I get, you know, the feedback I'll receive is, oh my gosh, you know, that happened, or you know, like everyone has a story. And everyone has that, you know, that trauma or loss. Maybe it's physical disease of the body or whatever. And we could go into all that, and we could, and ego loves that. It's like the frosted flakes of ego, you know, and we could spend time and energy into that. You know, and that crunching sound is like, ego loves that stuff. I honestly don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, and the now, like you mentioned it, picking it up, putting it down. Here we are, we're at now. I love these reminders. I point people to these reminders as well. I point myself to the reminders of we're at now. And we can literally drop out of the storyline altogether. And we do that. We cultivate that when we step into the now. We can then experience freshness, like alive, real life, real time, right here, right now. But that doesn't mean sensations of the body go out the window. You know, if you're experiencing a moment of perceived pain, you can actually learn to work with that, though. And as it comes up, the now just becomes more vibrant. And I think you can agree with me on this, Les, is that the mind, the ego, creating a bunch of suffering for us. But in the now, we don't experience that. That's not part of the now. And I feel like we can come away from that and step into the now. And it's very easy to talk about the now and to come into the now. So we're very blessed. We're very blessed that we're beings that can be in the now. Yes.
Well, and you know, this love potion, you know, you get a bottle of unconditional love, and there's no warning sign on the damn bottle. It doesn't say, you know, careful, this might kick your ass.
Right.
If you start loving yourself without hesitation or worry, if you start loving yourself without expectation, then all bets are off. I mean, even the rules of the universe soften. And what I've found is once you practice and learn to love yourself, there's this point where you'll start generating a sentence and you'll interrupt your own thought going, well, this is crap. I don't want to even finish this sentence. And at a point, there's a point where you won't even pick up anything that's not love, that's not joy, that's not. And I know to the ego that can seem like, well, that sounds really, you know, airy-fairy. You can't live in that place. BS. That's the place to live. That's the good stuff. Love expands, and you can't exhaust it. And it's just... It's ever
expanding. You're right. Yeah. It's inexhaustible. Yes.
So spend it like you won the love lotto every morning.
A love lotto. Oh, I love these catchphrases, Les. You are chock full of these. You're giving language to things that are in the fifth dimension. It's just... Yeah.
So, I mean, we could talk the whole episode, and Othello's probably spilled her popcorn a few times listening to us.
Yes. Othello is a beloved being that will speak and come in when needed or when invited to. And if everyone wants to kind of kick your feet up or grab your tea and listen in, she's got a very musical, I would say, kind of a voice, and always loves to impart wisdom, and I'm sure would care to share a few words. And I'll just go away. I kind of go into a holding room as that happens, as I channel her energy here, Les.
Very nice.
Are we not on the precipice of glorious shifting through the gateway? You can move yourself to the now, have a seat, and linger there. There are no rules of conduct, which would say you cannot be in the now. I have heard it said from humans that nowness is negating or avoidance behavior, or that you can go dumb. This is not true. That is ego speaking, and you can hear it. The now is lightweight. The now never evades you. No one will handcuff you and stop you from being in this present moment. Only the mind, you can choose to be in the airy fairy state of happy joy, opening, total radical surrender. The now says yes, yes to life. It is not negating. It is not leaving responsibilities. It is not losing intelligence. It is sharpening your being. You will notice vibrant, crisp colors. Fresh air coming into the lungs. It will seem cool, refreshing. You are not bogged down by the weight of pain body or past. You don't need to leap to future. It is advisable to live in the way that your guides do, which is spirit time, now time. In such a way, you can see life through the goggles of here and now space, where all possibilities are infinitely available to you. It opens your channels. It flings the doors open. It is also the way to bring light into the body for healing. Thank you, Adela.
Yes, thank you.
Spilling the popcorn. I think Adela is patiently waiting. I think she has a good laugh at our expense, too. I think that she kind of delights in these, even these conversations. You know, she's told me before, we'll get to a point in humanity where we'll sit and we won't have to say anything, that we will be connecting in a telepathic way, the way that was done in Atlantis and some of these other very ancient civilizations, very advanced, and that it's okay to take the breath, to take the silence, to embody this silent stillness that we seldom choose to do. I mean, how often do we honestly step into silence every day and come into our own presence, into our own now?
Oh, yeah. Well, I try to do it all the time during the day. And,
yes.
And it took, I mean, I meditated for 10 years. And, and then I got stuck there. And so it's, it's kind of there all the time. But,
which is, healthy, I think, is a very good way to describe that. Healthy and a very sane way to live, whereas the, you know, the mind energy, I think, at this point has become at an epidemic level. It's become insane on so many levels. So it's beautiful to be able to spend the presence, the now, to explore that, to come into silence more often. And I'll often tell people, if you get so busy, you forget to do that, you can set your phone, you can set alarm reminders, reminding yourself to come into this current moment.
Oh, sure. Well, and your soul as your higher self, as your best friend, as your divine lover, actually, is it's like peace, the notion of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Peace is not going to strong-arm itself into existence. Peace, by its very nature, will not force anything. It has to be chosen. And your soul has that unconditional love. Your soul watched you go through your whole lifetime and me through my lifetime and likewise to everyone. And we're given fierce freedom to let go of all our divine connections and live just in mind and suffer for a long time. And it, in the presence of this quietness in the moment, I like to think of it as my ego parks its merry ass right next to the heart and just sits and waits for the inspiration of the moment. Like, my life is probably busier than it's been in a decade. I got so much on my plate, it's just insane. And yet my heart, my soul will say, well, why don't you design that circuit? I'm like, what the crud does that have to do with all this stuff done? And it's really weird because when I quit resisting, and it's like, well, you know, that actually feels pretty good. And when I think about what they're telling me to do, my heart and my soul is telling me to do, if I genuinely feel what the suggestion feels like, it's when I'm honest, I want to do it. It's like that would be a fun thing to do, and it takes my mind to it keeps me in balance even though I'm in a storm of chaotic change.
That's right. The feeling that you were going into, the feeling just there, I could literally feel that with you as you're tuning into this feeling sense, this place, if we could call it a place. When it's there and you have total clarity there and you're really tuned into that, to the exclusion of all outside distractions, don't you find that you're able to really receive those messages, then go and act on them? And it seems as though, it would almost seem as though we're more productive, yet things slow down. The pace feels like it's evenly flowing, even though there's chaos going on, there's activity on the external level, there's an inner oasis, it seems, when you're connected to this feeling space, when you're really tuned in. And I find that to be, again, another blessing that we have within us, this oasis that is quiet, calming, and the silence can be observed there. And as you say, ego can be parked. It's not like shooing ego away, not saying shaming or blaming, none of that, but that there is this understanding, right?
Yeah. Well, the ego is the vehicle of joy. I mean, the heart and the soul can certainly feel joy too, but the ego as a vessel of joy. I suggest, you know, like at the end of every day, we have an opportunity to reflect on the day, and you can live
right.
your life completely driven by your ego. You can go read a book about the stock market and do strictly methodical processes and acquire whatever the hell the ego desires. And in free will, that's fine. You can do whatever you want. But at the end of the day, to truly, truly feel genuinely satisfied and fulfilled is when the ego, during the day, honors the inspiration of the heart and the soul by listening, by trusting, and by taking action. Then
right.
at the end of the day, your heart and your soul are smiling ear to ear, and your ego's flipping
yeah.
ecstatic. And so
right.
the whole trilogy, if you will, is satisfied. Is satisfied that
That's
you
right.
did the, you know, your life path might be some big-ass journey, but, you know, like if you're writing a book, today you wrote a paragraph or a page or two pages.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
that's it itself. The book doesn't write instantaneous. It's a sequential series of pages. And just by
yeah.
simply honoring the inspiration of your heart and your soul, at the end of the day, it's indescribable when it becomes a habit.
I think you just touched on something that it feeds right into ego management, which is just partially the direction of this show, is managing our ego. And as you say, you can live exclusively out of the ego and through the lens of ego and engage in what Othello calls, you know, human activities throughout our day, and then to bring the day to a close where you're all
yeah.
the way through the day, every second of your day is human activities, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's one way to go about doing it. And certainly, though, you'll find that there's underliving happening. There's underliving energy of or it'll just seem like you're coming up against a lot of resistance. There's an easier formula. There's so much more joy to be had, and so much more, I think flow is the best word I'm thinking of, flow, that where you bring in unison, both ego, you know, heart space and soul, and just takes a few moments really to make that alignment and to feel that really well, and to just briefly kind of do that inner check-in just to keep yourself, you know, in balance and dance with it and allow life to dance through you. I love your idea of closing the day. This is the way I close my day as well, is to breathe in a meditation that's of gratitude, love, and discovery, to look on the day and look at those moments where you are really in alignment, you know, all the chakra systems, all the meridians, and your inner and outer self were in alignment as you went through your day or took this action step. And those soul markers that you see through your day, you can really celebrate those. You can taste those and savor them and take that with you as you lay your head down on the pillow. What a miraculous way to begin your dream work and to go into sleep and to live in a habitual way like this. The habit of living this way, Les, how long have you been practicing what you just described? I mean, probably over 10 years, I'm sure.
Well, it's got to be a habit, and if I step out of that equation, if you will, or that paradigm, I can feel it, and it's like I don't want to do that old crap anymore. You know, we've been talking about the ego. The other side of the topic is abundance manifesting. Do you want to touch on that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We're here for abundance. We are abundance. We couldn't be anything other than abundance. And I think now is a good time then to just recognize that. Just even if we're looking at our bodies, we go outside in nature, we see abundance everywhere we look. When we're in the ego management, as we're talking and looking at it today, what we just shared, when that's going on, that's your habitual way of living, then seeing abundance is a natural byproduct of that. And when you're seeing things abundantly around you, abundance is all around you, everything changes. And this scarcity, lack, limitation consciousness is allowed to dissolve, and in its place is this opening, this knowing that all is supplied and that we can actually relax back. We can lay our head back and trust that all that we need is supplied. It's literally going from this feeling of separation from life, lacking, and having to reach, extend, force, kind of force of solution, or try to get our way, fight our way through, or I'm going to put quote-unquote work hard for this, that, or the other, all those things. Those are movements, and they can and will dissolve away as we open ourselves up to this truth. It's a very basic, fundamental truth that we are abundant beings.
Very well said. I like that. And like we had been talking about, the more you come into that, it kind of feeds off itself. Because, you know, I mean, divine love or source consciousness or God, goddess, however you want to look at it, has this really powerful unconditional love for us and it holds space for us. But the moment we turn to it from our smaller self, our ego self, when we turn to that inner love of self and inner love of life purpose and inner love of life conditions, then we become the vessel of unconditional love coming all the way through higher consciousness into physical form, into physical flesh, and our bodies become the canvas of love expressed. And, you know, yes. I'm not going to say it's a walking orgasm, but it's kind of like a walking orgasm in the sense that once you put on your virgin eyes and let go of what you thought it looked like, shit, love's everywhere. It's like it's in the grass, and it's in the rays coming from the sun, and it's in the food you eat, and it we're in an ocean of it, and there's it expands with time. It's like who dreamt this stuff up? This is really good stuff. And the more you help heal humanity just by being a vessel of love.
A vessel of love, a vessel in the moment, a vessel of presence. And it's all wrapped up and bundled in the same thing. And that's the greatest gift, in my view. It seems in my work that I've seen people transform and bring themselves to this place where they're ready for higher levels of consciousness. It just seems like embodying this love as their whole self every day, not just Sunday, but every single day of the week and every moment, every second of their life, embodying this love vessel and really seeing with virgin eyes, as you say, just the grandeur, the beauty, the abundance, and giving thanks for it, like being in a state of gratitude and living from that place. You're embodying love, so that's all you're attracting. You're only able to be in that consciousness and attract the same similar frequencies. So, of course, you'll be manifesting at a rapid rate, and at that point, it'll be your decision, your conscious choice to sit down, you get out a sheet of paper, write with your non-dominant hand with a pencil, not with a pen, but with a pencil, and write out the script, the blueprint of how you'd like to live in this physical existence. Look it over, you know, and then put it on, tape it on your water glass. This is all coming from the upgraded human way from Othello's, you know, volume of library knowledge. And she says, you know, you tape it to your water glass because we are made of water. So you go ahead and drink that. You're soaking it up. You're drinking that in, taking that into your aura, your energy field. And then you live from that, and you create that habit of doing that. It helps you to continue to expand as this loving light being and take it to whole new levels. I think that we're very rapidly approaching 5D, where we are able to walk around in this you know, semi, if not full-on orgasmic state, you know, and be just full light beings that we are, and finding that we're able to create at a very rapid pace just by embodying abundance, just by fully knowing, not conceptually knowing, but fully knowing that we are abundant beings, that there's abundance. We're not separate from abundance or love. We're all interconnected. It's all connected together. And this is nothing new I'm saying here. I think listeners who are tuned in, this may be just a reminder. It just may be the pointing signpost that says, hey, remember? And then you go and, oh, yeah, and it just means so much to you then, or something shifts there, something changes, and you'll make those appropriate changes. It's a delight. It's a joy. It's so much fun to be discussing it, and then to having Othello with a spiritual perspective, of course. We can go at any moment. We can decide. This is the beauty of this. I love this. At any moment, we can simply decide to exercise free will and to hit the reset. The freaking reset button is always there for us. Yes.
Reboot.
That's right.
Yeah. I like that. Well, you know, I really like the image of with your non-dominant hand and a pencil writing out the vision, the dream, and then as a vehicle of intention, you're doing this. And as a vehicle of attention, you tape it to a glass of water. And as a vehicle of intention, you take the water and you bring it into self. It really, I just love that imagery of what happened there. Well, you know, we were talking earlier today, and you were just you were shedding some light about where you are in Mexico, and kind of the story of the land down there, and how you're right on the water. I mean, talk about love to have your life path take you into such a beautiful environment, and then you open up through that compassion for humanity, and you invite people to go on a retreat, I got to imagine that the plants, the animals, the all that is in that arena is so in harmony with the nature of nature. Because nature is palatable when it hasn't been scathed by human intentions. It has this palatable peace where all consciousness in every form is cohesive and in harmony with itself. So when you hold retreats, you're literally bringing people down to that kind of environment. Can you shed some insight about what a retreat would look like?
Oh, I'm just dancing with the words that you just put out there. It's literally melting me over here, because it's so true and it's so rich, colorful and exotic. And it is. It is. You're right about the animals and the. You know, the thing about this place too is that it's in the midst of a crater. By the way, so underneath the sea floor, there's a Chukchklub's crater. You can Google that. Look at that. And so that has implications. And also, we're right in the Mayan territory, right where these learned beings built these glorious pyramids and temples and these hidden caves. So there's these treasures in the smack dab in the jungle. And this is very much off the grid and steps away from the Gulf, where we have our resident dolphin teachers, and they come to us daily. And I just did a show with someone in Hawaii who works with dolphins, and we channeled these dolphins on the air together, and she was lovely. And it just reminded me that we can call these creatures. They're very intelligent. And I think that has something to do with this space as well, Les. But yes, inviting those who are ready to embody their divine knowingness, to really shift and to move into a 5D lifestyle. Those who are, you know, preparing or already are vegan, who are wanting to bring light to the world. So, of course, I work with a lot of teachers and authors and people in personal development fields, and also scientists and those who are healers and doctors and specialists. So these are people, though, who are ready to completely, totally transform. And whatever crap might have been holding them back before, that they're ready to really look. So we take people by the hand, and Athela as well, to look with them. So we do meditation every day. We spend a lot of time in meditation, exploring the mediums of meditation and channeling, of course. The environment here, though, we explore it hands-on. It's very rigorous. In the outdoors, which is Athela's prescription, and so she developed the protocol. She's the CEO, so she has the protocol right. And we spend a lot of time doing outdoor movement, yoga by the sea, or mindful walking by the sea, and leaving ample space for silence. The quiet here is we can't even talk about it. It's quiet, so that you can really loosen up whatever you've come and brought with you. You can loosen that up, and you can come into a space where you can really look at your material, look at what's rising up, and be present. And we do take outings to the pyramids and the excursions there. They're just magical. There's pulsating energy there. And so you throw that in with some great dynamite hypnosis and Reiki and really whatever the individuals who are very committed and highly motivated, when they come in, they get the full enchilada. And I'm so happy. I'm really grateful to be able to offer that. And I'm living proof, honestly, that we can live life by design. And this is literally a paradise. So I recommend it, you know, for people who are ready for this kind of full-on transformation, and they want to become, as Athela says, an upgraded human. This would be an opportunity to do that and to meet your guides, because we all have helpers around us. Not only that, but once people go, they leave the space, they're encouraged to take the retreat, the word retreat, and to take it and live it, to not just come here and have a lovely time, a lovely experience, but no, you actually utilize this energy and you put it in your body and you go and live it. You create your own retreat. Retreat is just a word. I mean, we're talking about an energy field that we're building here. And you show others, you let that light shine. And it's a contagion. I've seen it. One individual will go, their family will see them in this altered vibration, and they'll want to get in on that, you know, and they'll be like, yeah. And they'll do it as a family, you know, and that's just the coolest darn thing. It's not me. It's not Othella. It's this person in their soul space, their consciousness, ready, leaning forward and saying yes. And that's all it takes. And so when before people come, they always have an application process, an interview with myself and Othella to make sure that it's the right fit. And I'll tell you, it's only four people. I only do retreats with four people because that's what Othella told me to do. And she brought me here to this place. She was the one who built the monastery. The specifications are all up to snuff, according to Othella. So it's just been it's just a phenomenal experience. I can't even say. Sometimes I grapple with the words less because I'm like, what? Come and see for yourself and you'll understand. You know, between the iguanas and the jaguars and, you know, the other day I saw a big anaconda on the road. I mean, it's incredible here. It's another world, another dimension, for sure.
Well, I like that. You know, so oftentimes people see themselves as, you know, quote, seekers. They're seeking the truth. They're seeking enlightenment.
Yes.
And enlightenment is a field. It's like a magnetic field. It's a field that exists in you right now. You don't create enlightenment. You don't assemble it. You don't bring anything outside of you to fulfill it. It's already,
yeah.
It's already been in you. And as you were describing your retreat, it's that place of peace. It's unwinding, if you will, all the ways you folded yourself over from that inner field of consciousness. And that retreat sounded like you embody it. I mean, it sounded like a wonderful way to naturally find that field of pure consciousness, which is the root of who you are, as you are all
yeah.
the time. So what a beautiful
right.
Image you were drawing there. So I just want to get a total picture of how you mm-hmm. engage your services. So we've talked about the retreat. Mm-hmm. Do you have any
yeah.
other modes of service?
I do. I have a private practice on Skype whereby you can book a session with me for coaching or for channeling sessions, healing sessions with Othella. And that's something pretty cool because you can be anywhere in the world and you can dial it in and have access. It's a great way to connect to your guides and a great bridge way if you're looking for enhancing your meditations. The coaching, I'd call it, if we could call it anything, I would call it, you know, spiritual you coaching, you know, bringing you back to you. Because you've
sure.
got, we have inside all the tools. And I really believe that nobody's ever going to, you know, show me a teacher that's better than me, nor am I going to say I'm better than you. It's none of that. It's simply, let's look at our arsenal of, you know, our medicine cabinet within. Let's open that up. And then we'll do the inner seeing together. We can do that. So I have that. And then furthermore, I also host another radio talk show. It's selfdiscoveryradio.com with Sarah Troy. And that's something you can tune into. Yeah, we got that on YouTube, and you can tune into that as well. And then finally, I'm really happy to announce this, that there will be a film that I'm going to be featured in with Othella, and it features five of the top world's top channelers. It's coming out as a sequel to a first film called Tuning In. And it's going to be called Tuning In, Angels and Aliens. And it's coming out in June 2018. And that's going to be a very revealing, I think, light-filled, consciousness-filled film that's going to help us to bring channeling and these beings that have come through the body and that share their messages to the world, bringing that really to the general populace so that there's more education, so that there's more information sharing. And for Othello's portion, she sat with some children and just talked about life topics, things that children wanted to ask. So there's that piece. And I'm really excited to share that. So anyone who's looking in on that, you can actually get the first movie. It's online and available through Gaia.com, and it's called Tuning In. And this movie here in June will be released to, I believe, it'll be piloted for Netflix. So I think that you'll find it on there. All of these things and more, you can find free meditations, free videos, free ebooks and products from Othello about perfect weight, perfect health, upgraded way, all that stuff on our website at othello.org. Of course, all of our social media. I do a lot of live streaming. I mean, I'm in this. I'm in this for you. You know, it's 150%. And I really love all of you. I love our planet. And I'm just here in service and to be the vessel. So I really hope that if this resonates with you, that you'll seek it out. If it doesn't, find something that does, because certainly we're at a point where it's like, it's now time, and we are connectors, and we're connecting, and all resources available. And if I can be of assistance or service, then that's great. And if not, then you know, I just bless everyone hearing this, and I know that you will. You'll seek out your truth, your light. And Les, I know I probably stole the thunder here, but really, I feel so fantastic being able to be on your show, and I want to just bow. I'm bowing now. I have a lot of gratitude in my heart, and thank you so much for having me on this beautiful platform. I love your show, and I loved our humorous moments and the things that we've shared together in our last show that we did. So thank you so much for having me. I would love to be on your show again if you guys have some space. I know you have your plate full.
Well, I want to thank you for being on our show. It's been my pleasure hosting you.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Christina Hill, and the compassion of her heart is most evident, and she's so engaged, so immersed, perhaps, in the passion of her heart to bring, to be that vehicle, that conscious presence in the moment. And that's the only time any healing happens. In the moment is the only time that transformation happens. It's this, it's where the opportunity is found for really all that is. And to learn how to be able to embody, to bring your energy persona into resonance with what you desire, to embody the dreams that your heart and your soul have for you, is literally the journey itself. It's such a it's so beautifully orchestrated, this vehicle of life that we express consciousness. It has such eloquence, such grace to it, even on this crazy, insane planet. And I get dumbfounded by the beauty of this model, because when we can choose love in the moment, we make that a habit. It expands in us, through us, as us. And damn it, I don't want to live any other way anymore. Life is damn short. I don't want to pass another moment as an opportunity to experience that the taste of love. Hey, you know, it's my pleasure bringing you episodes like this. I suggest you engage this platform, the New Human Living Platforms. Follow us on this radio show, and go to newhumanliving.com and sign up, because I write a newsletter every week, and it surprises me sometimes the where the topic goes. But we don't flinch at delving deep into this curiosity called human consciousness. It's my pleasure bringing you episodes like this. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Les Jensen. Until next time, thanks for listening.
This has been a New Human Living Radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.